The media is constantly on the lookout for expert guests and contributors, but they're not always easy to find. Each week, the Experts Podcast will feature a leading authority in their field who's made their mark in the media. The Experts Podcast, powered by Media Stable.
Well, welcome along to the Experts Podcast. My name's Nick Hayes, and it's great to have your company. We've got a real special guest here today, and it's something there of the future. What does the future hold for us, and who can talk to us about that? This is an industry where some of the best minds are coming together and giving us that kind of information. And I've got one of the best, Steve Sammartino. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Mate, it's very exciting to have you because I've met you in person. I don't think I have actually met a more energetic, more fired up person in my life. How do you do it?
Mate, it's exciting times. You know, this is the first time in history that all of the world's best information of what's happening around us and rapid pace of change, I can't see a better reason to get excited and jump out of bed. I mean, we've got everything here in front of us to recreate the world the way we want to have all the information to learn anything we want to learn. It's an exciting time to be alive.
There's a lot of money to be made if you can go away and predict the future. For instance, if you could go away and predict next week's lotto numbers, that would be awesome. But to predict how we're going to work and how we are, what society, what the business world is going to look like, it is amazing content if you can predict it earlier. How did you get involved in this?
Yeah, I studied economics and I always had an interest in technology. And what I found is that there's a social pattern in anthropology that kind of leads what's going to happen next in technology. And so I just always had this interest in pop culture and economics and technology, and the two kind of morphed together in an interesting way. It was almost by accident. I worked in big business and big companies in a marketing capacity in that corporate world. And then when I left and worked in, I did some startups and did some tech hacker projects. I built a full-size car out of Lego that drives with an engine made out of air, and I learned how to do it using tools on the internet. I had my own dot-com startup that I built, and I found that new companies using new technology have a different way of operating, and I just really married the old world and the new world together, and I think it kind of gave me a bit of a template for what's next. And the thing that I found is that while you can't predict the lotto numbers, Nick, and you can't predict necessarily who the winner is in a certain industry, what you can predict is the trajectory of technology, because technology has a knowable pattern of what's next and how much it advances. And human behaviour doesn't change ever, right? I mean, we've got a 200,000-year-old operating system. I call it the human OS, the human operating system. And so when you put those things together, those two things, you can actually see a pattern of what next, and it's almost inevitable. The challenge is which companies are going to win that race. That we can't predict, but we can certainly tell companies and the media and society, this is what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years. I mean, that stuff is highly predictable.
Now, you're a public speaker, you're an author, you're creating content all the time. What does it mean for you, though, when you're delivering your content to media? How does it improve your business, improve your profile?
Yeah, increasingly we live in a world where your personal brand matters. It's funny because, you know, I used to say that we used to be defined by the paperwork. I mean, the first thing you get when you're born is a piece of paperwork. It's a birth certificate. But now we live in this world where the screen is what defines us, and the media and our personal brand, because we're all so involved in social media and what gets served up in front of us. So being involved in that media, it gives you a chance to get your brand out there, despite even what your qualifications are or what you've done, and show people what you've got today, what you're thinking of now. And people are less interested in the past sometimes and more interested in what you're creating, because we're inventing this new world. So being involved in the media gives you a chance to get your voice out there, build your personal brand, and people are looking for those new and fresh ideas. So the media is great because it gives you that validation, and also they've got their own social channels as well, so it has this multiplier effect. So that's why it's super valuable to be heard out there, especially if you've got something you think is going to benefit society.
Now, you've been across radio, television, newspaper, online media. Which medium is your preferred? Which is the one that fits well with you?
You know, it's funny because I really love radio. I really do. And the reason that I love it is because you know that people have to concentrate when they're doing it, they're listening. And I think that ears are the killer app. You know, when you're looking at a screen, you can get distracted, or, you know, but with the radio, maybe sometimes you can be doing something else, you can be working and people can be listening while they're, you know, out in a work site or in the office. So I kind of like that. But look, I think that all media is created equal in some ways, in that, you know, there's a real morphing. You know, is a radio station really radio? Well, they have video footage these days, and TV channels, they have their podcasts. And so they're all sort of interacting in a way now where there's this demarcation and they're all kind of roll with each other. But I really love to give good voice.
One of the things that always intrigues me with futurists, and whether it be in tech, whether it be in any other space, is the ability to see it. And the audience's complete, you've got almost their complete concentration on the fact that every single word they're looking at, they're wanting to know more, because it's natural in us as humans. We want to know what tomorrow's going to look like. Where do you source your content from? Where do you get it?
You know, it's interesting. I really look at the street. I think that what happens on the fringe ends up on the front line. You know, an interesting example is behaviour you see in a non-commercial sense. I always look at street art. You know, that was a crime 20 years ago and people hated it. And now, you know, some of the highest paid artists like Banksy are street artists. And, you know, there's more international tourists coming to Melbourne where I live looking at the street art than there are going to the National Gallery of Victoria. And so yeah. I think that if you start to pay attention to the patterns and what people are doing on the fringe, whether it's technology or startups or art and these kind of fringe areas, they end up in the commercial area later. So I always are looking at the edge of pop culture and then marrying that up with the technology possibilities. And when you put those together, then you can see a pattern. So I really like to mix up anthropology and technology. That's kind of the two things that I do. But, you know, also for the other experts out there, once you start looking for these things, you see it all the time. And you have to draw from what you know and what you love. So I'll look at the pastimes that I have and the things that I do and just write about that and extrapolate out how that might change in the future. And if you can do it in one category or one area that you're interested in, chances are you can leapfrog that across to any industry once you start looking for the patterns.
Now, as a speaker, this is where you make your money. This is how you pay the bills. How much has the media changed for you, the pickup, the interest in what you've got to say?
Yeah, it has a lot. You know, I have after talks now, people say, oh, I listen to you on the radio every Wednesday, or oh, I saw you on the business on ABC, or different things like that. And you don't realise, actually, while people sometimes say, oh, gee, mainstream media is dropping down, there's still a lot of kick in the old puppy yet. It's still going quite well. So I don't think that we can, we haven't really crossed that chasm yet. And I actually say that there's only so many channels people can watch. You know, there's a billion channels online that anyone can tune into. But the truth is, there's usually less than 10 things we kind of tune in frequently. It's almost that law of large numbers. But there's one other thing that the experts need to realise, is that once you appear on media, then that becomes a proof point that it doesn't matter if people didn't listen to it, because you put that up on your website and you have links to this activity that you've done. And what happens is, when people go and check you out, they say, oh yeah, there he is here, he's done this, this and this, or she's done that, that and that, oh cool. It's a great validator, and it becomes almost like a digital CV. So from that perspective, it's very valuable.
It's a really good point you raised there, Steve, and it's a big part of being an expert. It's not just who's listening or reading at the time that you're doing it, it's who's coming back to look at it. It is an asset for you as your personal and your business brand. I love that attitude, because it is so important. If you put the time and effort to do that with the media, it will pay you back in spades very much in the future. Steve, before we finish off, I'd love to just to get your one little piece of advice that you might send out to all the experts today, that those that want to be and are heading down that path towards expertise. What bit of advice would you give them through your journey? What kind of advice would you give them if it was the best thing you could give them?
The one piece of advice above everything is, don't just be an expert through reading and researching, be an expert through doing. Because the more you do things in the space that you're in, the more you learn and the unique insights that you have to offer others. So the having is in the doing. You've got to get out there and do projects in the space that you're in. And then that's where the lessons come through and the validation is respected by the media.
Fantastic. And Steve, you've got a book coming out. Let's just give it a quick plug. What's the name of the book and where can they get it?
The book is called The Lessons School Forgot. And it's about hacking your way through this tech revolution, how to reinvent yourself and how to future-proof your life. It's available in all of the bookstores and online, Amazon, Booktopia, you know, local bookstores. You'll find it on the shelves and in the airports. So it's pretty much everywhere through Wiley. And the feedback so far is people are telling me it's going to be their manifesto for the next 10 years.
It sounds like the Bible. It sounds like people's guide to life. Fantastic. Steve, and I have actually, we've crossed paths many times, and I would highly recommend anyone, if you get a chance to hear Steve speak, you won't walk away empty-handed. It's a great piece of content, great piece of information, and something to get you thinking about. Steve, thanks for joining the Experts Podcast. Look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks, Nick.
My name's Nick Hayes. Thanks for joining us.
The Experts Podcast is powered by Media Stable, your media connection. To find out more about Media Stable, go to mediastable.com.au.